Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Well, we're all excited for the start of the Major League Baseball season. It all begins tomorrow. Now, the Indians have to wait a little bit longer to get going. They won't have their first pitch delivered in the season opener until just after 10 o'clock tomorrow. You can hear that game here on AM 930 WEOL. And one of the voices that you will hear, Jim Rosenhaus, and he is on the line with us right now. Rosie, before we get going, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Absolutely, Bull. I'm doing great. I'm here in Seattle getting ready for the opener tomorrow night, and it should be a lot of fun. It's, opening day, no matter whether it's home or road. Obviously, the home one's a ton of fun, but anytime you start a new season, especially with the expectations for this team, that's good, and really looking forward to getting it going.
Yes, and I think we all are. Baseball's opening days just got a certain special meaning to it. No matter how many of them that you've been through, and you've been through several, you know, it just never seems to lose that meaning. What does this one mean to you? You just talked about it there a little bit with the expectations being as high as they are for the Tribe. But what does this one mean? Just because I think everybody talks about this window. It may not be open much longer, and I don't know how much you buy into that, how much you believe that, but there's just so much excitement going into this season that you kind of get the idea that this opening day means a little bit more.
Yeah, and you know, in terms of the window, I try not and think about that too much, because then you might miss the fun stuff of the season you're in if you're worried about the seasons to come. So, hey, right now this team was chomping at the bit to get out of Goodyear and get the season going, because they know that they have a lot of pieces covered in terms of you know, position players. The lineup looks good, and the starting pitching last year was second to none, and there's no reason to think it won't be again this year. I mean, they still have to go out and do it, but the talent's certainly there. Maybe a little question in the bullpen on how they get from the starters to the back end, but they'll figure that out as they go, and I think because of that, that's what makes this year's opening day special. Look, it wasn't that long ago where, you know, the team would go into the season and you'd hope that it would go well, but you kind of knew that, well, you know, there were players who were really young, maybe just starting their major league careers, and they were struggling to fill spots, and it wasn't a competition. It was more just, well, who's going to be, you know, who do we put in there? And so that's not the case, and it hasn't been really for the past couple of years, and this year's no different. There's, I think, deservedly high expectations and a high excitement level, and just the flight yesterday coming out of Phoenix up here to Seattle, the players were loose, they're excited, that I think they're ready to get it going and attack this thing and see how far they can take it.
Rosie, with the Indian spring training facility being down there in Arizona, is it a bit of a blessing to start the season out on the West Coast to get some of those different time games? I mean, the Indians, I'd have to think, would be adjusted to it, having done everything in Arizona now and heading to Seattle where you're in the Pacific time zone. Is it a bit of a blessing? Because you do hear people talk about that time change and how it can affect players.
And it is, Matt. And you know, if you had to draw it up, I know the Indians, they don't have a whole lot of say in their schedule, mm-hmm. but you can put in certain requests. And I know from the baseball side of things, when they submit their certain requests that they have, they'll tell baseball, hey, if you want to have us open on the road and make it be on the West Coast, they have absolutely no problem with that, because you're right on in terms of the time zone. You're already out here. There's no adjustment to the time zone. You knock out a West Coast trip right away when you're out here anyway. So travel-wise, instead of a 5.5-hour flight, we were here in 2 hours from Phoenix last night. So there really is no adjustment. Who knows how this road trip will pan out? I mean, you know, they could struggle, but I don't think it will be because of jet lag or time zone changes and some of the things that can be a challenge when you have those West Coast trips in the middle of the season.
We're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus here on Bullseye on the afternoon, just a day away from the season opener tomorrow night in Seattle. Rosie, you mentioned something a couple of minutes ago. I want to go back to talking about maybe one of the question marks of this team being who is going to fill the void left by Brian Shaw, who left in free agency. One of the guys who will be looked at as, well, I think the only new face, really, in that entire staff would be Matt Belisle. And Belisle's one of those guys, I think, that really kind of flew under the radar. I don't know if it's because of his age, or what the case may be. And I know he didn't exactly have the best numbers in spring training, but that doesn't always tell the entire tale. What are some of the things that you saw from Belial throughout the course of the spring that really kind of made him stand out and hammer down that final spot in the bullpen?
Well, he certainly brings a wealth of experience and professionalism to the job. And I think what managers throughout baseball try and do is not put too much emphasis on numbers in spring training, especially for a veteran player or pitcher. And they lean more on track record. And the recent track record for Matt Belisle is good. And that's obviously what you look at. If you go back to last year, the Twins, when they traded their closer, Brandon Kinsler, at the trade deadline, it was kind of a white flag they were raising because they made a couple of deals along those lines. And then all of a sudden they started playing better and got back in contention and eventually made the postseason. And Belisle was the guy they turned to close games because they didn't have a closer. So they asked him to do it, and that's not something he's done a whole lot of over his career. But I think what makes him attractive to the Indians is he has that recent track record, and he's pitched in a variety of different roles in that bullpen. And that's important right at the outset here because I don't think they know there's not going to be one pitcher who takes over for Brian Shaw. And that's what you're getting at in terms of that bridge. You know, he was really valuable for this team, and it's probably going to be a couple of different pitchers who are going to have to get that done. And I think Matt Belisle will be one of those.
He was an interesting name, I thought, just taking a look at that spring training roster. You look at what he did last year. You just alluded to it, Rosie. I mean, the fact that he was able to do some things in a team that essentially made the playoffs, I think that signing certainly flew under the radar. I'm happy that he's a member of that tri-bullpen. I think he is extraordinarily underrated in a group that is extraordinarily talented as well. And while we're on that topic, taking a look at that bullpen, everybody knows the two hot shots in the bullpen and Cody Allen and Andrew Miller. But who are some of the other guys in that particular group that stood out to you throughout the course of the spring?
Well, Zach McAllister, for sure. It just seemed to take a big step forward. They actually were working him a lot of days, more than that one inning, giving him, you know, multiple innings. And his breaking stuff, which consistency-wise has always been a question mark, seemed to be a lot sharper. So his secondary pitches were better. He still throws mid-90s, which is huge. So he's coming off a good year and looking to build on that. And I think he was really encouraging in the spring. And that's about it. I mean, the other guys, Otero, Olson, Goody, I think they had their normal springs. Didn't necessarily jump out. But you know what? If they do what they did last year, they'll be just fine. So I think the Indians are good with that, and we'll see some others. Right now it's a 7-man bullpen. At some point it's going to be an 8-man bullpen, just knowing, you know, how Tito feels about that. So we'll see some others. Not exactly sure who. They're trying to work through some things contract-wise to see who they can keep in the system and be able to bring them up if needed. So we'll see, but at least the seven that are starting at the beginning of the season, they seem to have good springs and are ready to go.
Rosie, when you talk about the position players out there and who was lost, obviously Carlos Santana this year, but you don't hear a whole lot in the ways of, oh no, this is going to hurt the Indians. Does a lot of that have to do with, obviously, the success Yonder Alonso had last year, but what he's had in spring training too?
I think so. I think that's fair to say. I mean, he had a wonderful spring. Very quietly, and we're just talking on the plane last night about the situation he's in. A lot of times you sign a free agent, and like with Encarnacion last year, there was a lot of pressure on him to produce and put up big numbers because he had done it in the past. He was going to hit in the middle of the lineup. He was replacing Mike Napoli, who hit 34 homers and drove in more than 100 the year before, so you needed that. But Alonso's come in, and he's replacing a guy who, you know, normally 25 home runs, about 85 RBIs. And he's in a lineup that has Lindor, Ramirez, Encarnacion. They're already here. He doesn't have to carry this team. So he comes in relaxed. There's not a whole lot of pressure on him aside from just, you know, his own standards. And I think he fit right in right away, and he is really, really excited for the new season to start in a good, positive way. Not that, you know, you see a lot of free agents they sign and then they just feel like they have to carry the load and that becomes a burden. I don't think that's there for him. And that could result in a really, really good year and allow the Indians to really make a seamless transition from Santana to Alonso in that spot on the diamond.
The Indians kickstart the 2018 season tomorrow night against the Seattle Mariners. We're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Rosie, a couple minutes ago, you mentioned the Tribe going with a seven-man bullpen for the time being. One of the reasons for that is they are carrying five outfielders on the roster, Brandon Guyer and Rajay Davis, the two right-handed bats. And then you got a trio of lefties in there as well with Tyler Naquin, Bradley Zimmer, and Lonnie Chisenhall. Wait, to me, Rosie, I know a lot of people are excited about Bradley Zimmer getting a chance to play his first full season, hopefully with no injuries along the way, but the most intriguing name to me on that list of outfielders is Tyler Naquin, simply because I think he was certainly a bit of a surprise, but he put together a really nice spring. What were some of the things that you saw from him in spring training that really made him stand out and obviously play well enough to make this opening day roster?
Boy, I think it was just good at-bats. He had good success against tough lefties, and he saw a lot of them. And just, you know, he had a back issue last year, and if you're trying to swing with a bad back, that's a problem. And he also had some knee issues. He's fully healthy, and he has always been, I think, what we've found since he beat the door down and made the club in 16 and had a great rookie season. He's just a real good competitor. And, you know, he probably saw the numbers game and figures, you know, maybe in his mind, I think he probably feels he can make the club, but realistically, it was going to be tough. But he didn't back down, went at it hard every day, and really stepped forward and made a really good impression on Tito and the coaching staff. What happens when Michael Brantley comes off the DL? Who knows? But Naquin, I think, certainly has made a good impression and is in a real good spot here to start the season.
And it's interesting, I think, anyways, just because I think from a fan's perspective, he's a guy that a lot of people really forgot about. You know, when you look at the numbers game, as you referenced there, Rosie, a lot of people looked at so many different options in that outfield, and I really don't think that from a casual fan's perspective, they really even considered Tyler Naquin. But you talked about that 2016 season he had. He was very good. Then last year, he just kind of got lost in the mix. So I think that's a really interesting name to watch moving forward.
I think so. And, you know, again, who knows what will happen here this first month. There'll be some roster shuffling, but I wouldn't be surprised if as the season goes along, he becomes a part of it. I'm not exactly sure how, but I wouldn't count him out. He's a good competitor, and it's funny that you mentioned some people forgot about him, but I think a lot of people bring his name up because of that good first half in 2016. He had one of the most memorable home runs, the inside the park walk-off home run that year, and that's still a memory for so many people. So there's some good stuff there, and it'd be interesting to see if he has a chance to let it shine this season.
Sometimes these conversations are cyclical, and we bring it all the way back around. We'll do it right here, bringing it right back to opening day, or in this case, opening night. And for those listening tomorrow, might end up becoming opening morning, as it will go into Friday morning as well. But, Rosie, one of the cool things I think about opening day at any level of baseball is that you get the aces of each staff squaring off against each other. You'll have a primetime pitching matchup tomorrow night, Corey Kluber and King Felix. And I know that just adds more fuel to the fire, which should be an outstanding opening night.
It does. I mean, those are the two guys in 14 who had one of the closest Cy Young votes in recent memory, and Kluber ended up winning it. King Felix has had some injury issues the last couple of years, and actually the folks here in Seattle saying that he might not be the best pitcher on the staff. They give the nod to James Paxton, but he's still King Felix. He's meant so much to this franchise, and they really like the way he was throwing the ball in spring training. And with Kluber, he's coming off another Cy Young. And, gosh, it seemed like things went really well in spring training for him. I mean, it just his buildup from a physical standpoint to make sure he's healthy. And then his stuff, I mean, gave up a couple of runs in his last outing, and you were shocked. And I mean, he's going to give up runs. He's human. But, boy, his stuff seemed really good heading into the season. So it should be a fun matchup for sure on opening night.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, let's hope that that Indians offense continues to click and they make King Felix look more like Prince Felix tomorrow night. That would be certainly ideal. Well, Rosie, one last thing before we go. I know you've got some pull with the baseball gods and Mother Nature. Any way in the world you can get that 10-day forecast to look a little bit better for the home opener? Have you seen that thing?
No, I try not to even look. How bad is it?
Yeah, probably best if you don't take a look at that long-term forecast, because even though it is about 10 days away, man, oh, man, I just want this doggone snow gone, and hopefully we can consistently get back in maybe the 50s or 60s. That's not too much to ask, is it?
Yeah, hey, it's got to, 10 days, it's got to change between now and then, right? They can't, I mean, they can't be right on it 10 days out, can they?
No, we'll go with no. We'll just be optimistic. We'll give it a sunny outlook here. We'll say no. Rosie, as always, we appreciate the time very much. Looking forward to hearing you tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians. Looking forward to hearing the call from Jim Rosenhaus and Tom Hamilton tomorrow night. Cannot wait for baseball season to get here. It's almost here. It'll be here tomorrow night. We'll be back with more in just a moment on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.